today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, which is a division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I want to tell you right here at the top of the program that I'm very disturbed and somewhat angry about what is happening to school children, what's happening in the educational systems of many states across the nation. And I want to begin by reading something to you that we sent to our constituency in the last week. And this begins to get it said, but we've got two guests here who are going to say it even better. This is what I wrote, and it comes from my heart. It seems everywhere we look these days, Democrat-led state legislatures are racing to the far left on many of the most divisive social issues of our times, and it has to do with our children. It feels like a stampede is what it really does. It's coming at us from all sides. Our home state here in Colorado is one of many states that are attempting to advance dangerous legislation which would prohibit traditional family values, just make them illegal, that have been taught in the public schools and their sex education programs for many years, but that is changing. In Colorado, and I speak of Colorado even though we're talking to people all across the nation, we're heard in every state in the nation. We think that this is of relevance to every school setting because what takes place in California and Colorado and some other liberal states will soon be popping up everywhere else, and it already is. But this Bill 1032 would mandate and expand the teaching of LGBT relationships, transsexuality, and the entire litany of far-left sexual ideology, and teach it to the youngest of our children, in some cases in kindergarten. In Colorado, I think it's nine-year-olds. These are babies. These are little children. And we're sending them off to school to learn about things they have no business knowing about. But in many places, it will be illegal for parents to step in and protect their children. And there is no exemption for those with religious faith or beliefs. And we'll get into that in a minute. The bill, speaking, of course, of 1032, would furthermore remove exemptions from the 2013 law, which up until now has allowed charter schools to teach more traditional values in classes, and if they choose to do so, now that will be prohibited. If you believe marriage should be between a man and a woman, HB 1032 says, too bad. Your ideas are anachronistic. If you believe that sex is meant to be between a husband and wife, then this bill says that you should give up those old ideas, those notions, because young people are going to be doing it whether you like it or not. And if you believe it's a parent's sole right and responsibility to teach their children about what is healthy sexuality and what it looks like, this bill robs you of that and hands it over to the government. And if you simply believe there should be more options for parents who can't afford private school or homeschooling, where their children can learn traditional family values about relationships and sexuality, this bill says that your ideas no longer matter in America. I happen to think they do. They're biblical. They are God-breathed, and we dare not turn our back on them. All right, now that's my statements, how I feel about it. And we have two people with us today that I want to introduce to you now. With us is Debbie Chavez. She is the executive director of the Colorado Family Action and is deeply involved in the fight for the protection of children in our schools and what we've been talking about. Jenna Ellis is our director of public policy. here at JDFI, and it's good to have you ladies with us. Now, you've heard my introduction. What, Debbie, would you suggest we do with that? What's your view, and what have I left out?
Well, there are a lot of details that go into this bill that we need to be aware of because they impact parents and families when we look at the expansion. This is an expansion from what was already expanded in 2013. So we'll go over some of those specifics, but very quickly in a nutshell, when we look at constitutionality and we see our First Amendment rights trampled on because religious ideology is purposely prohibited. So when we look at religious ideology being excluded completely from this standard that they are putting down in human sexuality training, that's extremely disturbing. When they say that no gender norms or gender stereotypes can be talked about at all, then we've removed that too, where we have boy and girl or male and female. That's
Debbie,
not okay.
How does that look? They're denying that there are boys and there are girls and that they are different and that you can say boys line up on the left and girls on the right. All of that is prohibited. Is that right? Do I have that correct?
You do have that correct. In fact, I'd like to read it to you because it is so egregious when it said it prohibits instruction from explicitly or implicitly teaching or endorsing religious ideology or sectarian tenets or doctrines using shame-based or stigmatizing language or instruction tools, employing gender norms or gender stereotypes, or excluding the relational or sexual experiences of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. So to me, what that's saying is we are prohibiting anything that might be a religious moral or any type of label that would be a gender label or stereotype, but we are requiring lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender labels and experiences.
Jenna, you're a constitutional attorney. What about the Constitution and what it says about religious liberty?
Absolutely. And this is, Dr. Dobson, one of the most egregious attacks against fundamentally our freedoms that are pre-political. We have those that are endowed, as our Declaration says, by our Creator. They're not given by our government. Our government is obligated to preserve and protect our religious freedom, not just pick and choose when and where and how we can exercise it. And so for this language that Debbie just read, it is so egregious because it is saying that religious ideology is shame-based and stigmatizing, yet it is requiring that LGBT ideology is taught in place of basic science and biology. So this is egregious on so many constitutional levels, not only the First Amendment, but also parental rights, the ability of parents to instruct their children, to have them taught basic science.
Jenna, can parents opt out for their children, or are they stuck?
Well, they're stuck to a degree because an opt-out essentially means it's a take it or leave it. And so parents are not going to have the ability, if they have to choose public school, to be able to participate in their children's education. They can only say, we're leaving it, and in that way, not have any ability to have their children taught correctly from a sex education perspective that is genuinely just scientifically accurate.
Debbie, how do you feel, or would you feel, if your children were required to go to a class that contradicted everything you believe about human sexuality, and you could not get them into some other program? The only choice you have is to take them out of school, or what, send them to the principal's office?
Well, and that's our number one concern, is that I would definitely, absolutely would not want my child to be pushed into that option. And I also think that parents need to understand that many school districts provide an opt-out at the beginning of the year. So it's a general opt-out that lists multiple programs that will be happening throughout the year. And you can accept or reject, but that happens early on in the school year. This curriculum may not be implemented until later in the year. So the parent being aware when they've already signed an opt-out for other things, or an opt-in, or didn't sign at all because they missed it, they may not be notified right when that is being taught. I think parents need to fully understand that. And to me, as a parent, if I wasn't being made aware the day that it was happening, I would be extremely concerned.
This sounds like a power grab with regard to education, where the parents are sort of out.
Correct.
Talking about opting out, they're the ones that are opted out.
They really are, and I think that's what we need to understand, too. When we have local control, constitutionally in Colorado, we have local control. Case law supports local control in Colorado. That means that parents and school boards decide what happens in their own backyard in their district. This completely removes that and takes advantage of the situation and puts a standard that is there that has to be enforced. And with comprehensive human sexuality training being placed under a health standard, if our state, which does not yet have a health standard for graduation, decides to change that, then children would be required under the health standard for a graduation certificate to actually take comprehensive
sex ed. Parents have no say about it.
Correct.
What this is doing is removing any kind of biological standard, any kind of rational standard, and instead using sex education as a mechanism to force children to accept in their perception that these types of relationships and these types of transgender and the sexual orientation gender identity as a normal standard. That's what's being indoctrinated to these kids, is using a class period to say, we are going to force you to embrace and understand and accept as normal all of the LGBT standards of relationships.
It's generally understood that language determines policy. What about mother, father, sister, brother, grandmother, grandfather, many other words that denote gender identity? What happens in those cases?
And those would certainly be up for what qualifies under shame-based language. And that's what's so open-ended about this, is that if someone who was transgender and said that they are a biological male that identifies as a female and wants to be labeled differently, then that could fall under shame-based language. And so this is so broad in scope. There is no way at this point to measure how far we will go with these terms. Even Google, very recently, there were employees that said that the term family was offensive because it demarcated and denoted just a traditional male-female father-mother relationship. And they said
that was offensive. You're getting to the heart of it, because that's the target here. After all, it is family.
Yes.
And family is related to gender. It just is. That's the way babies are born and how they get here. Debbie, talk about how widespread these notions are. We know it's in California and already established there. Is it happening in other states, as I said? And if so, do you know where?
Well, it's happening in multiple states, and that's where we have to check in our own states. And I don't want anybody to have a false sense of security and think that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender training is not going on in their school district. That's where they specifically have to check on language. If there's an opt-out, there is probably other content in there to be opted out of. But what I do want to make very clear in this bill in Colorado, what's happening, the opt-out will protect if it's being taught under the guise of human sexuality training. But if the same dialogue is happening about the same experiences of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender under the guise of relationship talk or any other program that is instituted in the school, the parents do not have to be notified and there is not an opt-out. That's very critical that they understand this.
It's my understanding that Colorado has a book out there that's called The Blueprint.
Yes.
And it details how Colorado has become the test ground for the progressive education movement. Explain that.
There's actually much more to it than that. So basically, many years ago, the LGBTQ movement launched their effort. They called it something of the 10-10-10-20 plan. It was 10 states for civil unions, 10 states for domestic partnerships, and 10 states for gay marriage, all by 2020. We know that they have more than met their goal. They received that. They actually had a slogan that they used, and it was, Colorado is our laboratory. It's literally printed on their office in downtown Denver. That's where it's so important that we understand, when they decide to go back to state politics and take down our nation state by state, they birthed that plan in Colorado. It's very important on our watch that we understand our responsibility to do something about this. We may see radical policies happening in California, but in Colorado, they're laying little tidbits of verbiage within policies that are passing that they can reference later to expand and make it radical.
You can bet the courts will take a run at this, too.
They definitely
will. Now, Debbie,
will.
I heard that there was an incredible moment in the state legislature where the council, the legislative council, was meeting, and they were besieged by parents who were concerned. Tell us what happened there.
So they were. So first off, on the day that the committee hearing happened, the Capitol was full of parents, and they came early. They didn't wait until 1:30 for the hearing. They were there over an hour before, packing the halls of the Capitol. When the room opened at 1:30, it was so full, they had to move it to a large room, and then they had to get four overflow rooms. It was that packed, and the hallways were still packed. During the committee hearing, I saw something I've never seen before that was so amazing. As the bill was being discussed, when the testimony talked about supporting parental rights and supporting religious freedom, the people in the audience raised their hands and waved their arms like this in support of religious freedom and parental rights. They had a wonderful decorum. They were respectful at every turn, but they could not stand by and let our religious freedom be thrown under the bus.
But they didn't change a single vote, did they? It was a party line vote.
It was a party line vote. Now, Planned Parenthood had their policy director there, who happens to be a transgender. Jack Teeter is a transgender, advising the Democrat legislators for the entire 10 and a half hours, all the way until midnight when we finally got a decision. And the policy director for the ACLU was also there, sitting next to Jack, carrying the influence to the Democrats. The Denver Post released an article saying that Planned Parenthood helped write this bill, which is not shocking to us at all. It's just that we need to be taking note of this, because in this bill specifically, under the pregnancy outcome, it equates abortion, parenting, and adoption as equal outcomes under a pregnancy outcome. That is abominable, to be equating those as a pregnancy outcome.
Debbie, is it a lost cause here in Colorado?
We do have a chance, and this is where we need to look at our state Senate and understand that there are people of good reason in our state Senate that we can work with. I do know that Senator Nancy Todd, who happens to be a Democrat, she is a churchgoer. In fact, she actually goes to church with a woman who teaches a sexual risk avoidance relationship training in public schools. And I think we need to call Nancy. We need to have all of the people in Colorado call Nancy and appeal to her for the rights of parents, the protection of children, the understanding that a moralistic view actually sets children up for success. We see that when parents teach children about relationship, their chances for a good education skyrocket, for them staying in school. Also, suicidality goes down when parents teach their children about relationship, and children understand healthy relationships of a man and a woman. One of the biggest things that I see when I read through this bill is it makes it all about an individual's sexual gratification experience. It does not make it about relationship, and that sex involves two people who have a relationship, intimate relationship involvement. It's all individual. We cannot have that go down, because we will lose the vivid picture of the intimacy of Christ in his church if we don't mimic the relationship that God laid out for us to understand that intimacy. The human relationship between a husband and a wife, when they have that intimate relationship, is the only thing earthly that comes close to the intimacy of Christ in his church, and we must not let that go down on our watch.
Jenna, add to what Debbie just said.
I think that we have a very strong moral position that we can't let go out of fear that the progressive left is going to win. We can't abdicate our responsibility and say the culture is too far downstream, so I'm only going to care about my family in the four walls of my home. We have to continue to care about the culture and to preserve and protect moral truth and to stand up for righteousness and justice as good citizens and members of our civic society. That's an obligation that we have as members of our community, to not just be teaching in the home, but also be a testament for Christ in our church and also in our civil society. We have to take that seriously and recognize that we are the ones that are preserving and protecting that truth for the next generation, and to teach those principles out in the public square, to stand up and not be silent.
We're running out of time, and we must tell people what they can do about it, because if we just sit around and do nothing, our children are in the control, and under the power of people who disagree radically with what Christians have traditionally understood the Bible to mean.
Yes.
I believe it is still the Word of God, and
absolutely,
I believe that my children should not be the one experimented with. What do we do about that?
Well, very specifically, there are two state senators that are sponsors of this bill, Nancy Todd and Don Corum. Nancy Todd is a Democrat. Don Corum is a Republican. I encourage every single Coloradan to call those two senators and let them know, not on our watch do we want our children put in this vulnerable position. Local control was instituted in Colorado to make sure that parents and school boards were involved in the education of children. We cannot take that away, and we must stop this bill from happening. They need to either remove their sponsors or make sure that this bill is stopped as soon as it hits the Senate. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of you but to seek justice?" Justice is written in the government context. Restrain evil and promote good. That's our responsibility. When God speaks to his people, he expects us to respond. And that speaks directly to us to restrain evil and promote good. When we hold elected officials accountable, when we get involved in our local school boards, when we take part in how laws are determined and implemented, those are the regulators that go and interpret laws and enforce them. We need to be influencers in all of those arenas. So no matter what state we live in, we need to know who our elected officials are, know who those regulators are that are unelected, that are interpreting our laws and enforcing our laws with the rules that have power of law, and have relationship with them and bring them truth so we can restrain evil and promote good.
Yes, and I completely agree with everything that Debbie said. We have to engage policy, because policy will determine what we can do inside the four walls of our home. So as much as we love the family, we want to encourage and promote marriage and parenting and family values, that can only happen when our laws also allow it in the context of our government. And so every single person has to engage in policy. They have to understand who their elected officials are. They have to be willing to engage, and also to support organizations like Colorado Family Action, who is doing the work of promoting family values in the state, like the JDFI, like our Dobson Policy Center, that's doing that on a nationwide basis, that is promoting family values that will reach people with truth and inform you when these types of bills are coming up and encourage you to act. For this particular bill in Colorado, nearly 400 people showed up to provide testimony in opposition. That was a huge, huge outpouring that got a lot of attention. We need to be doing that on every single bill that threatens our family.
Let me say directly to the parents, this is not just another public policy issue. I've dealt with hundreds of them through the years. They're all important. All of them touched our hearts. But this is your children. These are your boys, your girls, especially those parents who have young children. I'm telling you, there is an effort to capture their hearts and minds and twist and warp them. It's not just about a changing view of sexuality and whether you can use the words boy or girl. This is really going to the very heart of the Christian message. The scripture says, Jesus has said, we're made male and female. And that's what's written in the book of Genesis. This is the heart of the validity of the scripture about to be aborted, I use that word, about to be twisted and warped on behalf of your children. If you stand there and let it happen, you have no one to blame but yourself, but your children will suffer for it for the rest of their lives. I urge you to take this seriously. Get in and get informed. Find out what's happening in your school, in your educational system. And I bet you you're going to find this virus is there. And you had better let your voices be heard. Organize. Talk to other parents. Talk about it in the church, in the Sunday schools. Let the people know that your children don't belong to anybody but you. They don't belong to an educator. I don't care if he's got a PhD or what his background is. Your children were birthed by you and brought into this world. And the scripture tells us to raise up a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Is what happens in public schools going to keep you from doing that? If so, and you can't change it. I hate to say it because this will frustrate some people, but either Christian schools or homeschools are moving are your only options. Don't let your kids be warped by this ideology. Debbie Chavez and Jenna Ellis, it's been good to have you with us. Thank you for fighting on the home front. Literally, in this case, it is the home front that's being attacked. And I appreciate what you're doing. Let us know how we can help, because I care about this issue. Debbie, tell us how people can get in touch with you.
They can go to coloradoaction.org and get in touch with us there. So that's coloradoaction.org.
Jenna, where do people go to find out more information on this in the state of Colorado or elsewhere throughout the nation?
For the James Dobson Family Institute, the Dobson Policy Center is on social media. You can find us also at DobsonFamilyInstitute.com.
Thank you all today.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.